Hey, how many of you guys, use a GPS on your phone? Yeah, I am GPS dependent. I have to have my GPS on, even to get out of my driveway. Robin will be like, why are we using the GPS to go to East End Beach? Do you not know how to get there? I'm like, I do, but what if there's construction? What if there's this? What if, I'm very GPS dependent. I always have it on. When we were working after Hurricane Katrina, I brought a group of 36 down to do reconstruction, and we were in Louisiana after. I just have to laugh. We're Church of the Last Minute and church where anything can happen. So we were in New Orleans. So anyway, I was in New Orleans, and one year I brought 36 people to rebuild after Hurricane Katrina. And the next summer we had a group of about 24 of us. Well, one year, and the year we had the big team, we had like 4 minivans, we had a pickup truck, you know, for all the lumber and everything we're moving and stuff. And we all had Garmins. Remember those days? You had your Garmin and you had to type in the address, like da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and go through all that. Well, we had Garmins, and I had the cheap one that was called the Tom Tom. Remember that? You could get that for $90, and there was a reason. But you could get that for $90, and so I had one of those, and I changed its voice, and it was Robin's van, and another one of our female youth leader's van, and a whole pile of girls that would go in that van. So I changed the voice to Cletus. And Cletus would say, y'all gonna make a turn to your right round about, 400 yards. And Cletus talked so slow that you would drive past the road that he was trying to tell you to go down. And so he'd be like, y'all need to turn around and go back. And Robin will still bring up Cletus. I thought it was a great prank, but it kept getting our girls lost because their GPS wasn't quite the thing that we needed, right? I had one time my GPS took me, this was back in the early days of GPS, I had an iPhone, and I was going someplace, and I remember trusting it, and it said, you have reached your destination, and I looked, and I was literally in the middle of a field. Now, I've always wanted to be outstanding in my field, but not that way. I didn't want to be outstanding in that field. That was not where I wanted to go. It's important that we have a GPS that works and brings us to our destination. And so here's what I kind of think. I kind of think that following Jesus is like having a GPS for life. It's like, except this one never needs an update. And it always gets me to the right destination of where I'm supposed to be. Last night we were walking a big golden retriever that weighs about 80 pounds and our pom-pom dog who weighs about 12 pounds. And we had attached pom-pom's little lead to Bailey's collar. And then I had Bailey's collar to the leash. And Bailey is pulling, and Pom Pom is trying to direct Bailey. She is pulling and pulling, 85 pound dog. It's just like sitting there, not even noticing her. And Bailey's stopping and sniffing for a while, and Pom Pom's going, and trying to pull, and actually fell over once. She's trying so hard. And so Robin and I were talking about, it's like, you know, this is kind of like us with God. God says, okay, here's the direction that's best for you. Here's what I have for you. And we, our little 12-pound self, to a massive, supreme, sovereign God, are pulling and going, no, No, I want to go over here. Sometimes God just says, okay, we'll go over there, but you know, that's not where you should be going. But I'm never going to leave you and forsake you, so I'm going with you, but we really need to be going this way. So this morning, I thought it would be good after a summer of talking recovery stories, recovery from everything from financial ruin to health problems to mental illness that has happened to recovery from drugs or alcohol. We've talked about that and said we do recover and we do find new life in Christ when we follow Him. And so I thought this morning it would be good to just kind of give you four reasons maybe that you should really consider Jesus. You might be here this morning going, I just heard some music playing, so I came over. Cool. And you're like, I don't really want anything to do with Jesus. Awesome. I'm glad you're here. That's what we're going to talk about today. Why would we consider Jesus, this thing that supposedly happened more than 2,000 years ago, why would we consider that seriously? Why? And the first thing we're going to talk about is his claims. Jesus was either, C.S. Lewis said, liar, lunatic, or Lord. He was either a liar, or he was a lunatic, or he was who he said he was. Okay? The second thing, heaven. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to go now. Right? Whose lyrics are those? Nobody's a Kenny Chesney fan. It's Kenny Chesney sings that song. Everybody want to go to heaven, but nobody want to go now. Okay? Everybody, we're going to talk about that. There was a pastor who asked these three men in his church. He said, what do you want people to say about you when they look upon you at your funeral? What do you want people to say? And the first guy said, I want him to say, he lived a good life. Nice. The second guy said, I want him to say, he gave himself to others. Nice. The third guy said, I want him to say, look, he's moving. I was like, that guy's being honest. The third thing we're going to talk about is the promise of life now. That life is better now that there are bennies for following Jesus. That life now is better. And the fourth thing is purpose and direction. A lot of people are like, I feel like I have no purpose in life. What is my purpose? What am I here for? What is it all? Is this all there is? You ever hear that? People ask, is this all there is? We're going to talk about that. So within that in mind, let's dive into the four reasons why following Jesus is worth your consideration. Why I believe it's worth your consideration. Now, Jesus made this claim. He made a claim that we do not like as people. We do not like it. He made this claim that he is the only way to God the Father. He is the only way to heaven. Only. And people say, that's outrageous. That's outrageous. But a lot of us grew up or were playing video games. And most of us who are playing video games, we learned that there's always another way. There's always a cheat code. There's always a secret level. Right? And we have this thing ingrained in us that there's always other ways to accomplish the same things. And so that's been good when we've been trying to solve a problem. But it's not as good when we're trying to figure out when Jesus said he's the only way. Did he really say it? You know, did he really say it? In John 14:6, Jesus says, spells it out, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Wow. Does that kick you off? People get mad at me when I say it. And I say, whoa, whoa, whoa. Don't get mad at me. I'm just repeating what Jesus said. So don't get mad at him. People don't really want to get mad at him. You know, they're okay getting mad at me. But we don't really want to mess around in that area, right? Don't want to mess around in that area. And so I say, don't get mad at me, get mad at Jesus. And so we as people, and some of us here this morning probably believe it, we believe in something called the mountain theory. That all religions are all climbing up the same mountain on different paths, and we're all going to get to the top and discover the same God. Right? You've heard that. Some of us believe it here this morning. I know. I mean, I look statistically, and much of the Christian church will say, yeah, I believe that. And I go, well, yeah, but Jesus said he's the only way. Jesus said he's the only way. So what do we do with this mountain theory? I think we need to test it by examining the characteristics of other religions' gods. Do they look the same? Are they the same? So we need to test it. You'll find that other major world religions are based on works where man pursues God. Christianity, Judaism, are the only faiths that believe God pursues man. Now you just heard only. Oh, we don't like that word. We don't like only. We don't like always. We don't like never, right? You can't say those words because it's exclusivity. So we have to test those other religions against what Jesus said. And that's what I encourage you to do if you're here this morning checking into this for the first time and you're like, I don't know about this Jesus stuff. I'm like, just check into it. Just check into it. And, you know, only Christianity presents it as a gift that you can't work for. That you're not working hard to discover or find or please God. You're not, that's not the way you get it. We get his love. There you go, my rights here. They're going to the motorcycle show. Going to the motorcycle show where we would have been having church this morning. That would have been loud. So Christianity is the only one that is a gift. And you think, is it a gift? Ephesians 2, 8, 9 in the Bible says this. God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. Salvation's not a reward for the good. Now that's hard for us because we're like, there is nothing free in this life. And I always say, well, salvation. Salvation is a free gift. When we add Jesus, when we say, in order to go to heaven, Jesus and, we've just eliminated grace. Jesus and. And we're going to talk more about that. Only Christianity and Judaism believe in a God that pursues them and makes a covenant with them based on his character and not ours. It's not whether we're good enough, it's whether he's good enough. So while the rest of the world is trying to be good enough to reach the pinnacle of their God and worshiping, ours is saying, here it is, all of it, all at once. But I don't deserve it. Nope, you don't. You say, that doesn't make any sense. I know it doesn't make sense. I know it. I didn't say I'm going to tell you things that make sense today. Right? I didn't give you that promise. It really doesn't make sense because it's just a free gift. And you say, well, how does that work? Well, maybe you heard the story in Scripture of the criminals hanging on the crosses around Jesus. Remember, one of them was mocking him. Making fun of him. Hey, you think you're so great? Hey, you're the king here. Why don't you take us down from here? Come on, show us your power. And the other guy goes, hey, quit it. We deserve to die for what we've done. This guy hasn't done anything wrong. And he says to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said, I tell you today, you will be with me in paradise. He didn't say, I tell you today, as long as you work, 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 knock on enough doors, do this, do this, do this, do that, do that, you will be with me in paradise. a criminal who deserved to die and just admitted it was welcomed. Simply because, why? He asked. That's all it did. He asked. And Jesus said, yes. That blows my mind. But we don't like exclusivity. There are tons of other paths in life, right, that are all making promises. But here's the thing. They all lead us further from our Creator. They all turn out empty. Only Jesus offers relationship with a living God. Relationship that's personal and eternal. The second thing is that Jesus promises heaven. Now, according to Gallup polling, 23% of the world's population believes that death is the end. That death is the end. Only 23% believe that there's nothing after you die. So I look at this. If we're all sitting here, or, you know, 77% of us are sitting here thinking there's more after we die, then I think eternity is worth some of our time and effort to look into and know what we believe. I think it's a big enough deal. Like, eternity is forever, right? It's like eternity. It's like, you can't fathom it. Our lives are like this. Nope, not like that. Quicker. Ella, how fast can you do it? You know, how fast? Barb, how fast can you do that? In terms of eternity, it's already happened and done, and I'm like, boom. I can't fathom it. So if we, 77% of us, believes there's more after we die, I think that is worth your time and consideration. And my belief is also that after I checked into it, that Jesus, the Jesus of the Bible, not the Jesus of Fox News, not the Jesus of CNN, the Jesus of the Bible, the claims he makes, the way he lives, is worth my following. So where do you find that? Here's where you should find it. You should check into the claims of Jesus directly in the Bible. See, not in church. What? Scott, what? I want you to go to Scripture and read it for yourselves. And we have some free Bibles over here, New Testaments. I want you to take one. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, asking the question, what was this Jesus like? How did he live? What's his character? What were his promises? And I want to tell you that when I read the Jesus of the Bible, he looks very different than much of what I see in our society. Why do I want you not to get it just in church? The Bereans, Paul said, the Bereans were a more noble character than the Thessalonians, because they took what Paul preached and they took it home and they compared it to Scripture to see if what Paul said was true. Now, you guys, he was the Apostle Paul. I am just some bonehead who likes trying to follow Jesus and take pictures and living my life for Jesus. You should check what Scripture says. And if you're in a church and watching online where you got a pastor man who's saying, look to me, do what I say. I say, no. Look to Scripture, all right? You can certainly get that guidance and be in a church that points you to Jesus. I love that. But just don't stop there. Look in Scripture. So maybe you've been evaluating Jesus based on the Christians you see who are making the news. See, if I did that, I'd want nothing to do with him. If Jesus was the Jesus that I see on the news, and all of that anger, that outrage, that constant no peace, just full out all the time. I want nothing to do with it. I want you to, if we had the screen, I'd say, take out your phones, take a picture of this. Write this down, log it in your brain, do whatever you have to do. Instead of judging Jesus by his followers, judge his followers by the Jesus of the Bible. If you're looking in the Bible and you're discovering Jesus' character, and it doesn't, and Jesus' character that you've discovered doesn't match up what you're seeing in your church or what you're seeing on the news or what you're seeing there, if that doesn't match that character, then I want you to be able to say, that's not Jesus. If it walks like a duck, floats like a duck, quacks like a duck, what is it? It's a duck, right? If it acts like Jesus, if it looks like Jesus, if I can picture Jesus doing this, then I can say, that looks like Jesus. All right, good, they're together, boom, I got it. But if I look at that and I go, I can never picture Jesus doing that, I'm going to say, love you guys, talk to you later. Smile and wave, boys. Smile and wave, the Madagascar penguins. I'm not going to internalize it and be like, I'm going to rage back at you for your raging, and we're all going to have a big rage party, and it's going to be great. No. No. So, why Jesus? If there is life after death and eternity, isn't it important enough to carefully consider? You know, John 3, 16 and 17, everybody knows it. For God loves the world, right? God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. So God loved, God gave, we believe, we receive. God loved, God gave, we believe, we receive. Simple. Done. That's it. That's what it takes to gain that heaven that we want, that eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. No condemnation. If you're in a church where all you feel is condemnation, or you've always been shy about being in anything involved with Christians because you feel judged and you feel all that, I want to say, does it walk like a duck, float like a duck, quack like a duck? Is it a duck? Does it act like Jesus? Does it speak like Jesus? Does it love like Jesus? Does it welcome like Jesus? If it doesn't, it isn't Jesus. It's that clear. It's an easy thing. The third thing why I think you should consider Jesus, the bennies. The benefits for today. The benefits right now. Yeah, the retirement plan is incredible. It's out of this world. But the today, there's peace, there's strength, there's God's presence with us. We sang that song, and Katie talked about God being with us in the storm, that he doesn't leave us. So the retirement plan is incredible, but even if there was no heaven, you know what? I'd still follow Jesus. I'd still follow his teachings. I'd still follow his ways. Why? Because it gives me strength today. It gives me peace today. Yeah, I want heaven. I can't wait for heaven. I love that hope of heaven. But I look today and I say, in this crappy world where trouble rushes at us in bunches, waves. Katie and I kind of talked about it this week. Why does it all happen at once? Why do we have crud storms all at once? I mean, it's like, oh, I broke my leg, and then the next day my basement flooded, and then the next day my dog died, and then the next day this happened, and we go, oh, I don't know why life happens that way, but I do know life happens. I do know things come at us. I don't believe God is sending things. See, you hear people be like, oh, that five-year-old died. God must have needed him. No, God didn't need anything. That five-year-old died. Oh, God had to take him. No, no, no. This world is broken. This world is crappy. It's hard. Jesus said in Scripture, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I've overcome the world. He didn't say, in this world, you'll have no problems whatsoever, and your life will be great, and you'll live in a big house, and you'll have an indoor pool, and you'll... Yeah, he didn't say any of that. He said, you'll have trouble. So you might look at me and say, oh yeah? Pastor man, tell me about how hard your life has been. How hard your life has been. You don't have any idea what I've been through. You know, I don't. And I admit, I'm coming to you today from a life of privilege. I'm coming to you today where I've had support. I've had people who've loved me. I come to you there. But I can tell you also that our transplant experience, when I needed a liver or I would die, when we lost our home because we couldn't afford to pay for it anymore, when we lost our savings paying our bills, when we lost our retirement funds, and we were living on people who were sending us a gift card that we still don't know where it came from. Every start of every week, there would be a Hannaford gift card in our mailbox for $100 for groceries. And people would stop at our house and drop off things from the food pantry. I'd never pictured myself being there. And I can tell you that was the hardest thing in my life. But I can also tell you that through it, though I was mad at God at first, though I had to process the whole thing, and I came to a place of understanding the hardship that I was in, that God didn't send it to me, God didn't give it to me, God knew it was coming, and God was there with me through it and gave me peace, gave me strength to meet it. Some people would say, you know, how's your faith? And I'd say, right now, I don't have any faith. So I need to borrow some of yours. I'm in darkness right now, so I need to borrow your light. And I had family, church family, that was light, that was support, that was strength. But it was hard. It was hard. John 14:27 says, Jesus says this, my peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. See, we get sucked into fights and causes that have nothing to do with Matthew 6:33. Remember that song you used to sing in Bible camp or Bible school? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. I promise I'll stop. But you remember it. You remember it. And all of these struggles that he's talking about will work out. Will work out. But we lose that. We lose that path so often. You know, especially right now. I don't know if you've heard, but something worse than COVID is happening right now. It is like rampant. It is taking people out. It is affecting people's minds. People who are sane are now insane. It's called election infection. Election infection. And people are losing their minds fighting about this stuff. Christians lose their minds, their focus. I said, families break up. Marriages break up. And we have all these commercials that are just feeding our fears. You know, she's the end of democracy. He's the end of democracy. Here, I'm telling you this, neither of them is the end of democracy. Here's this, we're not electing an emperor. I don't care what you, it's not gonna happen. And it's only 4 years. 4 years. So I look and I say, wait a minute, why are we bad Christians? I want to say this. I want to just grab them by the neck and be like, listen. You of all people who believe in a sovereign God, who believe that God is in control, why are you so flipping crazy? I want to just grab them. I want to look and say, do you know in 1 Timothy 1:7, it says God has not given us a spirit of fear. And yet we buy into, well, this YouTube guy, he says this. And I saw a guy, this guy has these prophecies and it's all winding up. Look out. And I go, you know, the book of Revelations has applied to every generation and will apply to every generation. Everybody worried about the end times? We should be worried about living for Christ now. Is it the end times? It's always the end times. Are we closer to Jesus' return? Yep. And now we're closer. And now we're a little closer. Now we're closer. And we can just keep doing that. Because we're always coming closer. But we prepare for telling others about Christ. So here's the thing. I want you to look up Philippians 4 on your phone. So we're going to skim it. Hey, Google, Philippians 4, New Living Translation. I just made all your phones do that. Hey, Siri, Philippians 4, New Living Translation. And then it's going to say, I did not understand what you just said. But if you look at Philippians 4, and you see what's being written there. Number one, it starts off, stay true to God. Stay true to the Lord. Make His stuff your stuff. Act like Jesus. And it talks about these two women who are fighting. They're having some squabble that we don't know what it is. That's not important. We just know that Euodia, that's a name. Anybody pregnant? There's your daughter's name. Euodia. You know, I'm glad you're not named Euodia. Euodia and Syntyche. That's another great name. These two ladies, they're battling. And we don't know what they're fighting about. But we do know that it's a big enough deal. It's a big enough deal that it's impacting the church and the people around it. It's such a big deal that the guy who writes the letters is writing about them. So picture that. Picture that. We'll say Jan and Angel are fighting. And we get a letter from the Pope. Uh-oh. And the Pope says, hey, you guys, you know, be strong in the Lord and all this. Jan and Angel, let's talk about you. Ay, ay, ay. Okay, so we know it's a big deal. We know these two fighting is a big deal that's affecting everybody. Okay, we know they're not just a couple of randos or newcomers. And Paul points out that they've been co-workers in the cause of Christ. They've been doing a good job. They've been doing great things. But they're pulled off the mission, and they need help refocusing on what matters most. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. They're not seeking the kingdom of God. It's not where they are. So, it says, always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Whoa! I have to look and say, is that what I look like right now? Is that what my Facebook page looks like with everything that I share? Is Paul writing about me and my current cause or what I think is so important? Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He's done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything you can understand. Boom! Mind-blowing. The peace that makes no sense. It's the peace to face heart surgery and going, you know, I'm okay with this. It's the peace that comes to that place where you say, I've just lost somebody I love dearly, but somehow there's a peace that's here as well. It doesn't make sense to the rest of the world. And then we slip down to verse 8. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true, honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think of things that are excellent, worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the peace of God will be with you. When I look at Paul and he says, hey, do what I did as I followed Jesus. If you need a living example, do what I did. Boy, I would love to get in that position where I could say to you guys, if you want to follow Jesus, just do what I do. Because I'm not real comfortable with that. But some of the zombie shows and stuff I watch, I'm still like, should I be watching, you know, what about the trash TV? You know, I still wonder about that stuff. But I don't know, maybe Paul would have watched it too. Maybe, I don't know. It's that me right now. So to look, exclusivity, the promise of heaven, and strength for peace today. And the last thing, Jesus gives us purpose and direction. Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. I will make you people who have the stuff that changes lives. It'll change lives. It's not about recruiting. We sold Amway. We went through our multi-level marketing era, you know, Taylor Swift era, you know, but that was our, we sold Discovery Toys, we bring your soap, we did all that stuff, and we had to build our downline, you know, in order to get 2 cents from every sale they sold, and we went through all that, went to conferences and everything, and every time we were trying to share with somebody about the wonderful way of Amway, here's our whiteboard, remember that? We're bringing out, you knew when you got invited to somebody's house for dinner, and there were, you know, three other couples there, you were like, uh-oh, here it comes. The whiteboard came out, boom, I want to show you. We drawing out the circles and all that. Every time we were doing that, sharing that, we were hoping to recruit somebody for our good.
Yeah.
Right? For our good. That was our motivation. But when we're sharing, when we're fishers of men, it's for their good. Well, our music team comes up to close us while we have communion, and communion's in the back. I want to share with you this song from 1923, written by Thomas Chisholm. It's pretty familiar. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I've needed, my God hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. I look down at the last verse, pardon for sin. It's a gift. It's a gift given to a criminal on a cross, certainly given to you, given to me, and a peace that blows minds, a peace that endureth thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today, strength for today, and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 behind. I hope this morning that maybe if you've been considering Christ and you never really looked into him, grab one of these Bibles over here. It's just a New Testament. Look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Discover who Jesus really is. The Jesus of the Bible. Not the Jesus in the news media. Not the Jesus of Facebook. Not the Jesus of YouTube. The Jesus of the Bible. Look who he is. We're going to have communion together, which is back there at table. And we'll invite you to go. And maybe this might be your first morning where you say, just simple prayer, Lord Jesus, I don't even know what it means, but I want to follow you. I know the paths I've been on, they keep leading to emptiness. So I want to follow you. Forgive me and let's go forward together. And Romans 10:9-10 says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart, you will be saved. That's it. Confess with your mouth, believe in your heart. And then we will love going with you as you walk and discover Christ and grow in him and make mistakes and get, we're all messy. We're all messy. But God never leaves us, never forsakes us. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for the gift that you gave us your life, Jesus, that Lord, we want to follow you. We want to give you our lives. Forgive us, rebuild us, renew us, and give us your life, we pray. We thank you for this bread and this cup. We thank you for your sacrifice. In Jesus' name, amen.